Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
So, it's almost Star Wars Day.
Yay!
So, may the 4th be with you.
Almost.
On Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
If you're
listening to this on the first day it's available.
Yes. So, this is coming out on Monday, but we're recording on Friday, so May the 4th feels a long ways away.
Yeah.
But it's not.
But this week, we're actually going to be talking about Disney Plus and the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
So Marvel, the other big thing.
It's not princesses. It's not a galaxy far, far away.
Right.
It's superheroes.
Superheroes.
But we're going to give you a real big warning right now.
Yes.
Wah, wah, wah. That's the spoiler alarm.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay, well done.
I don't know.
Yeah. Wah,
wah. Wah, wah, wah.
Okay, spoiler warning. That's your official warning. We gave you a week to get caught up. Now it's your own fault.
I mean, it's all over social media. It's tough to avoid some of the spoilers here,
but consider yourself warned. If you're spoiled after this,
it's not our fault.
Your own fault.
It's not ours.
Before we get to any of that, though, what is your current nerd thing?
Well, this is pretty nerdy. You may or may not have realized from previous episodes that I'm an accountant.
Really?
Yeah, and we're recording this on tax deadline day.
Yes.
We filed our taxes today. Thanks, Brandon, for filing our taxes.
Thanks, Brandon, for filing our taxes.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. That's my
way
nerd
to be
thing.
Super organized, Mr. Accountant.
Yeah. I had it like 97% done back in February, and then we kind of just waited.
And waited.
I am the president of the procrastination. It's the best nation.
It's true. You have your meetings tomorrow.
Yeah. We can do it tomorrow.
You know what? I don't complain because I hate doing taxes. Like, it actually causes me great anxiety.
It's true.
I swear that's not the reason I married you. It was just a nice bonus.
This is a little perk, yeah.
It wasn't
in the wedding vows.
It wasn't.
No,
but it was implied.
Yeah.
Mr. Accountant.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a tax accountant in my day job, but I pulled into service for our personal taxes, I guess.
Mr. Accountant, good job.
What about you?
Nerd thing.
Uh-huh.
So I've got a couple. My big one is, like I said, we're recording this on Friday. What happened on Friday, April 30th, Brandon?
Probably some pretty big Disney news.
Yeah, which I'll get to in the news. But I've been glued to like Instagram and YouTube Live and things like
Snappy
that.
Chats
today.
I'm
too old for Snappy Chats.
Yeah, but I'm too old for Instagram. You're older than me. I don't know what's going on. But
Disneyland opened today, and I've been absolutely glued to the Instagram Live and everything like that, just watching all the things, and it's making me super happy.
Did you get verklempt?
So it's not my fault. The cast members were waving at everybody as they came in.
Ooh.
I know. It was really emotional.
Okay.
And then they kept playing When You Wish Upon a Star. And The Dream Is a Wish Your Heart Made.
I'm not going to lie. I watched the little video that they released with First Time in Forever song.
Oh, my God.
From Frozen.
Mm, yeah.
And they had all the choreography.
Right before the cast member soft opening.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And that was pretty adorable. And I was like a little bit. Just a little bit. I'm like, oh no, I'm a strong modern man and it's okay.
No. You know she got me. Well, so that one got me. I was got many times.
Another time I was caught
when they lit the castle for the first time in like 400 and some days.
412.
Right? And they lit
it. That's crazy.
And then as they lit it, they started playing Walt's opening day speech. Mm. And I just started crying and I looked at you with like tears running down my face. It was like, why am I like this? So that's one. That's obviously the big nerd thing probably for both of us, but I'm definitely saying it because I got very emotional. But the other one is, as I mentioned many times, I am a teacher. We are watching Hamilton starting on Monday. We have a brand new class at my school that is basically created because I get to teach it, which is fantastic. It's a creative writing course for senior high kids. I have a couple books out, and so I get to like play with writing with these kids. And every month we watch a film and talk about like screenwriting, and I am getting to teach Hamilton.
I would say that there's probably nothing more creative than writing about a white guy from the 1700s in the form of hip hop.
Right?
So good choice.
Yeah. So very creative. I was talking to some of my students about like the musical theory behind it and things like that. It's just insane.
You should go on YouTube and mm-hmm. watch some of the musical theory. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the biggest music guy in the world, but the depth.
Yeah.
That Lin-Manuel Miranda went to.
Yeah, it's pulling crazy.
Pulling from hip-hop history as well as actual American history.
Yeah.
And just interweaving the two, it's amazing.
I meant to show them this, like, 7-minute video. And I think it's called How Hamilton Works is the series that they did. And I meant to show them the 7-minute video from one of the songs, which was the 10 Dual Commandments. If you haven't heard our Hamilton episode, by the way, it's probably one of my favorites. So I meant to show them this thing.
It turned into
It turned into an hour-long discussion, and only one of my students had ever seen Hamilton before. It was fantastic. The kids were just like, wait, what? Like, what level is this at? This is crazy. So I'm really excited to start that with him on Monday. We've watched, I think, Hamilton twice this month alone. That's crazy.
Hamilton is eminently watchable. So
right. We're talking
it's
about
paid for our Disney Plus subscription on its own.
It's true. A couple of my students said they're hesitant to watch it because they don't want, they're like trying to be really cool high school kids, and they're like, well, you know, it's super popular, and I don't really know about like liking super popular stuff.
I agree with them. I thought
I thought
it was overhyped.
Yeah.
I really, really did. Uh-huh. And it is not.
No, I said I was kind of annoyed by how much I like it, actually. You know what we should do? We should do an episode once on Disney stuff that seems overhyped but actually is amazing. We could just talk about Hamilton and Baby Yoda the whole time. Because really?
Oh, little Grogu.
Overhyped
adorbs.
Stuff. How about super hyped Disney stuff and whether or not it is worth the hype?
Mm.
That'd be a fun episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Frozen.
Stitch.
Ooh, Stitch.
Spoiler!
Stitch is a sneaky one.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, let's do an episode like that sometime. I think it'd be fun.
I mean, I want to do an underrated Disney as
Yeah,
well,
we're definitely going to do that. We agree on that one, by the way. Okay, so those are my two nerd things.
Man, you are nerdy.
I'm super nerdy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to listen to Hamilton again tonight. I don't know. Another thing we always talk about, top of show, what are you drinking right now?
Well, I got something really funky
today.
Mm-hmm. It's the Good Mood Unsweetened Hibiscus and Rosehip Sparkling Hard Tea.
Interesting.
That was my radio ad voice.
That did sound very ad-ish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's delicious.
Yeah, I had one this afternoon. It was really good.
And it's very pink as well.
Yeah, it is pink. Yeah.
I think that's
the
rose.
The sun was shining
hips.
Here. Just not to be super Canadian or anything like that. We're recording on Friday, April 30th. Mm-hmm. The sun was shining. A couple days ago, there was snow on the ground.
Like, literally 5 days ago, it snowed a foot here.
Yeah.
30 centimeters.
Yeah. We go through, typically in April, we go through all four seasons, like, day to day.
And we fought through some seasons today. It was,
yeah, today alone. Like, within a few hours.
It felt like spring and summer.
And then it was raining.
A little bit of fall in
and
there.
And then it was really windy. Anyway, we get 100 kilometer an hour winds here. Like, it's not even that crazy when it happens. And I don't know what that is in miles.
It's a blustery day.
It's a bluster. Winnie the Pooh would, Piglet would fly away.
Piglet's gone. He's gone. Oh.
I am drinking, before you ask me, what am I drinking? Hold on, let me read this. Palm Bay Zero Tangerine Mist.
And that's very interesting because the Palm Bays, the regular Palm Bays, have been around for years.
I don't like them.
I never liked them.
But the Palm Bay Zeros are much better.
The Palm Bay Zeros, they don't have that sickly sweetness.
You know what it is?
Hi, kitty.
If you heard that meow, that was our cat again, it was our podcasting buddy, like we talked about before.
Yes, he likes
If you are a regular listener to the show, you have heard Duke before. He is here purring into the microphone again.
Yes. Okay.
But I agree. The Palm Bay Zeros are much better because I am not a college freshman anymore who likes the super sweet stuff.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're zero sugar and fruit. Mm-hmm. They're basically a health drink at that point.
Essentially a fruit salad.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
So, typically at this point, we talk about the latest episode of whatever Marvel show or whatever new Disney Plus show that we're obsessed with has come out. Of course, it was WandaVision, and then it was Falcon Winter Soldier. Wait, we don't have Marvel for, like, a little bit. What are we going to do?
A whole month? A whole month till Loki comes out.
Man.
Bad Batch is coming out for May 4th.
That's true.
Star Wars
That's
Day.
True.
But we're a little behind on our Star Wars
so
animated
series. So, I don't
know
what we're going to do with that.
So we're going to be probably saving...
Frantically. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we're obviously not going to talk about our most recent gut reaction because we did that last time. Mm-hmm. However, the latest Assembled episode just came out.
Yep, Marvel Studios Assembled. Behind the scenes, basically, of the latest show that's mm-hmm, come out. Mm-hmm. They're planning to do this. They did it for WandaVision. They did it for Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And they're planning to do it for the movies that are coming out as well.
I think this is incredibly watchable. And so I just really want to recommend, if you are a fan of these shows, watch the behind the scenes here.
It flows really well. I like behind the scenes stuff.
I do too.
But this is probably more watchable than...
Your typical behind the scenes
stuff. Like, it's fine for casual fans as well.
Yeah, it's one episode. Yeah. Watch one episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier if you're a Falcon and Winter Soldier fan.
Like, it gets into the special effects mm-hmm. and also the writing and all this stuff, but it's just really good.
It touches on all the things. Yeah. So, this just came out, let's just say, we just watched it, we liked it, it works well with the episode we're doing today.
I was like, I want to say something. Oh, no, I should save it for the podcast.
Yeah, Brandon kept making comments and then be like, no, wait,
bite my tongue, I don't want to repeat myself.
You didn't want to say it and then forget to say it later, so
I probably will, but...
Yeah, it's fine.
We'll make the best of it.
Before we get into all the Falcon Winter Soldier stuff, though, let's go to the news. Disney A News Update. Okay, so let's just say right off the bat, people, Disneyland is open.
Yeah, there's people walking around Disneyland
oh my God.
Right now as
oh
we
my
speak.
God. While we're recording this.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, it's Pacific time, so they're still there.
They're still there.
They're oh on It's a Small World. They're on Big Thunder. Oh,
they're looking at the goat.
They're looking at that goat.
They're wandering past the new pet cemetery.
They're eating
Mansion.
A churro.
They're eating a churro. They're standing in line. At Snow White's Enchanted Wish, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Now? Yeah.
It's not scary. It's enchanted.
Not only have I been watching the live all today. I mean, definitely not during my meetings, though, of course.
No, I was
definitely in Zoom meetings all day today.
Very dedicated to the teaching craft.
I mean, before and after. Never during.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Never during, of course. Yeah. Stop it. But I even looked on the wait times and stuff on the Disneyland app, in case you were wondering.
We gotta live vicariously somehow.
Oh my God, so much. In case you were wondering, seemed to be the longest wait was Pirates of the Caribbean. At one point I told you it was a 35-minute wait. That was the longest wait. Mm-hmm. I didn't try and get you know how you can do the attempt to get a Rise of the Resistance boarding pass and you like
a little
practice?
Yeah.
I didn't try that today. I kind of forgot and everything, but we had definitely been trying before.
Because they now have two chances.
Exactly.
Morning and afternoon. Exactly. Kind of interesting.
But I did see as people were posting, they're like, oh my God, I got whatever time boarding pass and stuff. Most of the rides were walk-on. After Pirates, which was a 35-minute wait, it was Indiana Jones had a 30-minute wait. Everything else was 15 and fewer.
And that makes sense to me. Pirates and Indiana Jones probably have the most issue with social distancing, loading, affecting loading speed.
Totally.
Like something like Haunted Mansion, the Omni Mover, it's socially distanced.
It takes care of
anyway.
That. Yeah.
That wouldn't have any impact on loading speed.
Right.
I wouldn't say. Maybe space out a second Omnivore, but I don't think they would.
I didn't look, to be fair, I didn't look at California Adventure, but I was really focused on Disney.
the Radiator Springs Racers might have a little bit of a problem, and...
They always have a very long wait time, so I'm assuming...
Guardians of the Galaxy, Tower of Terror type
thing. Yeah, because of the spacing and the...
Would have spacing issues. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting.
Interesting. Maybe I'll look tomorrow, because it'll be open again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And probably every day going forward.
So they had lists of where the characters would be and everything like that. They had, you know, some scattered throughout Main Street. I was actually kind of impressed with some of the character interactions I saw. I didn't see tons because I was mostly, you know, crying over the cast members standing there waving everybody in.
And I shake on my head.
So that is, of course, the biggest news. Couple other news items. New trailer for Luca.
Yeah. We just
literally just watched
this. Just watched it.
Yeah. And this is interesting. I'm assuming everybody knows this, but it is coming out to Disney Plus. There have been some
very, very soon.
Yes. Yes.
June 18th.
Right away and here. Not, before you know it.
Not premiere or anything.
Nope,
like
just coming
that.
Out like Soul was. Just,
yeah,
just available.
Like Soul, yeah.
So,
which, do you want to mention it? It's actually a bit of a controversy with...
Yes, I was actually going to ask you what you thought about this.
I think that's silly, personally.
Okay, I want to hear about your opinion on this, yeah.
As an artist, you should want your art to be seen, whether that's on Disney Plus or in theaters.
Yeah.
And an animated film like this, I think, doesn't lose anything on home theater type of stuff. Whereas something big and special effects-y might...
Black Widow.
Yeah, Black Widow, I think, will be sad. Not sad, but...
I'm hoping we get to see it in theaters.
It'll lose a little something if you can only see it at home.
Yeah.
Even though that we have a big screen TV and a big sound system.
I want to see it in theaters.
Theaters still... It's something else.
It is.
So, it's six of one, half a dozen of another. I think it's better to get it out there.
Okay, here's my opinion on this. And I'm not an artist.
No.
I do
neither am I.
Like to think of myself as a creative person. And I think that work has value. I am finding the decisions as to what to put on Premiere and what to put... That's my thing.
That's an interesting question.
Like, why are they putting... They put two Pixar movies now just available.
Just available.
And they put the Disney ones... Premiere. Where are they drawing this distinction? Is that where they're drawing the distinction is more the question. So I'm inclined to agree, like, I want to see it, period. I'd love to go see it in theaters. I'm happy to see it on Disney Plus. I guess I can understand the controversy when it's like, wait, why is this not Premiere access? Where are you drawing this line here? Now, that being said, don't get me wrong. I'm super happy to watch this for free. We have talked a lot about renting Ray and the Last Dragon. We still haven't done it yet, quite frankly. We were catching up with Oscar movies.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely was.
And now at this point, we're like, oh, should we or shouldn't we? So it's easy for us to say, like, oh, just, you know, whatever. But
yeah,
at the same time,
it'll
we haven't
be out soon,
done that.
Kind of thing, yeah.
So I don't know. Like, you want to see your art. You
be
want to have your art you out it there. But at the same time, you're like, is it not worth paying for?
Yeah, you want it to be appreciated as well.
Yes.
Yeah,
I can understand that controversy.
And Onward was released theatrically for a couple weeks, and then they threw it on.
That was just the
Disney
worst.
Plus as well.
And I can understand that they did not
and that was
know
another,
the pandemic.
Another
was
Pixar
happen.
Production.
It was, but that one I can understand because it had been released. What was it? 2 weeks.
It was probably 2 weeks until like. Everything shut down.
Right? So what are they going to do?
So like a week and a half, maybe.
What are they going to do? They're going to put it out there so at least we can see that. Not only that, you have to remember at the beginning of the pandemic, everyone was in it together and there wasn't this divisive nature and we were all like free concerts and free shows on TV and YouTube.
We're going
to
sing
Imagine.
Oh,
things.
Wait, no.
Yeah,
we don't talk about that, no.
So that was like part of it, right? And they had only been released for 2 weeks and it was like, let's just get it out there because they had started. So Onward, I think it's underappreciated. That is not its fault. That wasn't, I don't think, any company's fault. That wasn't a conscious decision. This is what we're going to do. It was like, I don't know what else to do with it.
Yeah. No,
right?
that's fair.
I'm thinking Soul and I'm thinking Luca.
Soul got chucked out there, though, so it could qualify for the Oscar,
which
it won.
Yes. Hey, yes. Congratulations. This is our first episode since the Oscars.
No, betcha.
Okay. Pause for a second. Congrats, Soul.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well deserved.
100%. Not that this was a question,
no.
Mind you. Also, score.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats, Soul. Good job. Holy controversy surrounding the Chadwick Boseman thing.
Yes.
And...
This was the pandemic Oscars. Anyway, the last Oscars took place before the pandemic got going, really. And the big story back then was the Australian bushfires, which seems like
a lifetime ago. Wow.
And so this one was fully COVID-friendly.
100%.
And they had... people in masks and
distancing
and all that sort of thing, and they had to make different rules for the movies that would qualify. But the big controversy was they changed the order of the awards to give Best Actor last, because everyone thought that Chadwick Boseman, our Black Panther, was going to get Best Actor award.
Yeah, he was nominated.
And they were going to have this emotional speech by his family.
And you didn't want
like
anyone
that.
To follow that.
And fair enough, you wouldn't really want to follow that. There was a big upset, and
Anthony Hopkins won,
and you know
he wasn't even there.
You know what? Well, he wasn't there. He's in Wales because he's 83,
and,
it's a pandemic. 83
and it's a pandemic. Not his fault.
Not
people.
His fault. And he did put on the performance of a lifetime. Like,
and that's saying something. He's Anthony Hopkins.
He's
and
a
this
heck
was
of
his
an actor.
Performance of a like we watched The Father, and I was just like, oh my god, I don't know how someone beats this.
The credits rolled in that movie, and I was like, oh. It's really too bad for Anthony Hopkins because he's up against a posthumous Chadwick Boseman.
It's true.
And I was like, well, it's tough to vote against that, right? But apparently they did. And
Yeah. So whether or not you think Hopkins should have won or Boseman should have won, let's just say Anthony Hopkins put on the performance of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's saying something. That doesn't mean Chadwick Boseman deserved to win less or anything like that. But it was quite an Oscars weirdness.
It was a sad trombone of an ending. And it was probably the worst Oscars broadcast I've watched.
Which is saying something, because up until, like, I don't know, 2/3 of the way through, I was like, hey, they're handling this so well.
They did a lot of things right.
But
the last third was
downward
awful.
Spiral.
And not surprisingly, it was the worst ratings for an Oscars broadcast
the
ever.
The most anticlimactic Oscars ever. And I was into it. Anyway, if you haven't heard our Oscars episode, that was just our last episode. Mm-hmm. So by all means, jump on there and hear that.
And I was the winner of our Oscars pool.
By 2 points.
Yep. Well, that, I mean, 2 points is 2 points.
Yeah, the last time you won by like 8, so.
they don't ask you how, they ask you how many.
Oh, very funny. Yeah. Okay, so let's move on from the Oscars.
Yeah.
And congrats, Soul, again.
And me.
And Brandon, but also Soul. Good job, Soul.
I'm almost as big a winner as Soul. I'd like to thank the Academy.
No, yeah, let's just change the subject right now.
Okay.
Wish. Let's talk Wish.
Yes. So we talked about Disney Wish being announced last week.
Oh, that was it's true.
But they came out with a whole, it was like a half an hour special.
Yes.
Like highlighting the different aspects
and
of
you
it.
Can watch this on YouTube if you haven't seen it yet.
It was a live event, but they posted it to YouTube, so you can watch it.
Exactly.
And it's full Disney cheese production.
You know what? I love it.
Yeah, no.
I'm all about the cheese.
It's cute.
Yes.
And you got Captain Minnie.
Yeah, oh my god. Can we just talk about the fact that we have Captain Minnie? This made news a while ago.
Yeah.
That we are going to have Captain Minnie instead of Captain Mickey on
first
this.
First one, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's weird. But I kind of love it,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, no, it works fine. I
was just like, whatever, when the news first broke. And then seeing Captain Minnie, I was like, oh no, I actually love this.
But all the features on this ship, I have been on a Disney cruise before, one of the first ones, way back in the day.
Yes, because you're old now.
But
and you're
all
young
the features
now.
On this ship, they have an interactive Frozen.
Oh my goodness, like a whole
dinner
theater?
It's dinner theater.
But not just like a show, it's more interactive than that.
Yeah, it's like a character meet and greet plus.
Yes.
For dinner. And they
were to mix a character meet and greet meal with a dinner and a show.
Yeah.
That's what you'd get with this Frozen. It seems.
And a Marvel dinner theater show, which
oh my
I'm
God.
Like, oh. And I read a little bit about it, and they're going to have like inspired food with it, like Sokovian food. Probably chicken paprikash.
I would assume. I said, if they don't go for shawarma.
And some shawarma. They better have some shawarma.
Right.
And so, anyway, it's amazing. The kids' clubs look really cool, and I'm jealous of those little kids.
The secret entrance to the kids' club. I was like, you know what? I'm pretty short. I think I would fit.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but I could fit. I could fit. Come on, let me in.
But they really are figuring out. I think they're doing this more and more every year. They're figuring out, hey, adults.
Yes. So they have amazing array of adults-only options on this ship.
Including a quiet infinity pool.
Oh, the beautiful quiet cove or whatever they called it.
Yeah.
my personal favorite, the Star Wars themed
bar. Lounge.
It's a Star Wars lounge with like a spaceport window. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
is that your favorite? Is that what you think you're most looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to a lot, mostly traveling in general, but that aside,
what do you think? So, okay, first of all, Aqua Mouse is not as clever as Aqua Duck.
No,
but they have the Aqua Mouse on this ship. Yes. And
which is a water slide roller coaster. It has a lift hill and everything.
And it has all of this like projection kind of
It's a dark ride at sea, roller coaster, water slide. It has a story and everything. Like,
it's crazy.
It's blowing my mind.
This is insane. I'm trying to decide what I would be most looking forward to, because I basically squealed for half an hour watching this.
I want them to get the initial year out of the way.
Mm-hmm. We're not. Okay, so first of all, you can start booking in May this year.
End of May, yeah.
Yes, let's get that out of the way. And they're setting sail summer 2022.
June, I believe.
In June, okay.
Mm-hmm.
By all means, look at the details here. Oh, that's one thing that I just think is fantastic. In the big entrance and everything like that, the chandelier, you know, I know every time I see anything about a Disney cruise ship, you always see the chandeliers are featured.
Yeah, so it's Disney Wish, and it's Cinderella themed.
Yes.
So.
And so you have the beautiful Cinderella statue feature.
Bronze Cinderella, yeah.
Yes, but the chandelier is inspired by when the fairy godmother changes Cinderella's dress.
Mm-hmm.
Is the sweeping.
It's the bibbidi bobbidi boo swirl.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Which was, of course, we've talked about this before, Walt Disney's favorite piece of animation while he was alive.
It's a great piece of animation.
Right?
Especially
from still one
way,
of mine.
Way
I
back
know.
Then.
You know what? Forget way back when. I watch it now and I like swoon about it. So we've talked before about how we really, really, really want to take a Disney cruise. You want to take one with me to just watch me freak out the entire time? I think this might be it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be keeping an eye on that one for
right.
sure.
Not 2022. Let's let them get a year-ish, maybe 2023.
Maybe.
Fingers crossed.
Maybe.
Hopefully. But we're going to be watching all the details as they come out. That was big news. Lots of news. Holy smokes.
That was big news, yeah.
Okay. All right. So if you're listening to us on Magic of the Mouse Radio, we're actually going to take a little commercial break now.
I mean, Magic the Mouse has some bills to pay, and
we're going to... Yeah,
they're kind enough to let us use up their airwaves, so let's hit them up. And then we're going to continue on to our main topic.
Yes, for exactly.
Disney Plus and chill.
Okay, so Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Let's go through and then we'll talk about each episode. But first of all, overall, as a series, what did you think?
Okay. I think I'm going to talk about this a lot in comparison to WandaVision.
That's fair. I think that's natural. Everyone's doing
There's two newfangled Disney Plus shows in the MCU. And
yes.
So I'm going to compare that. I think this is more of an extended movie.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a standard MCU movie.
Right.
But the extended edition, like the Snyder Cut. If you will.
Okay. They have, episodic Snyder Cut.
They have your... Well, the Snyder Cut's technically episodic.
Okay.
It's cut into four episodes.
Fair.
Anyway, they have your standard MCU movie moments.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have that extra character development that you wouldn't have in a standard movie.
Because
you
don't
have
time.
You'd have it in shorthand
mm-hmm.
because you don't have time. And I liked it a lot.
I really liked it. Let's just do this. You already brought up the WandaVision comparison.
Mm-hmm.
WandaVision is definitely my top five TV shows of all time.
Uh-huh.
Falcon and Winter Soldier probably isn't. I liked it so much more than I thought I was going to, and I thought I was going to like it a lot.
Yeah, I was expecting, oh, okay, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
And it exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, mine as well.
Which were like middle-of-the-road expectations.
Okay.
So... WandaVision exceeded my expectations middle of the road as well, but it exceeded it by more.
Right. If we're comparing, one do you like more? They're very different shows. Which one do you like more?
I thought WandaVision couldn't exist anywhere but Disney Plus, whereas Falcon and the Winter Soldier could have been a movie and it would have still been good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I liked WandaVision more.
Yeah.
Just because it was so different.
I did too. WandaVision, if I'm choosing between the two, WandaVision is my favorite. However, I knew I was going to just find Falcon Winter Soldier super fun. It went so many more places than I thought it was going to go that I appreciated it and enjoyed it way more. Maybe not like in detail, but just this is what's going on in each episode.
Let's give an overview. And...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So there are 6 episodes. Each one
much shorter than WandaVision, but they were longer episodes. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So the first one we have New World Order, where we kind of, this is starts 6 months after the events of Endgame.
Which is quite a bit after WandaVision, which was like a week after
immediately
Endgame.
Following.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because this show, Falcon Winter Soldier, was originally slated to come out first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have New World Order. We have the big ones in here. Sam, at the end of Endgame, is given Cap's shield. And very famous line, which was talked about a lot in Assembled.
Yeah.
And was referenced at the in this episode. Steve
old
Rogers.
Steve.
Old Steve. Says, how does it feel when Sam picks up the shield? He says, like someone else's. And he says, it isn't. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That ends up having a lot more meaning.
Yeah.
Throughout this than what I think you or I expected at the end of Endgame.
Yeah, but I think we'd be remiss to not talk about how this episode opens. And it sets the stage for the entire series.
All right, let's do that, yeah.
This episode, it has the biggest action sequence of the entire series.
Oh my god.
The whole helicopter Falcon thing, Falcon being Falcon.
The most Falcon-y Falcon that ever did Falcon.
is movie level special effects and action,
right?
And it just like kind of blows you away and like, wait, this is on Disney Plus.
It's true.
Yeah.
So when we do our gut reaction, when we did our gut reaction to every episode, I distinctly remember before this started, we had watched
Winter Soldier
primarily.
Captain America, Winter Soldier. and Civil War.
And then we watched this immediately after and we're like, there's almost no difference.
Literally was no difference. This might have been a little bit better because it's newer. Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy
no,
level.
They went all out on this first episode and was like, yes, this is...
Would you say best action scene of the series?
I would, yeah. There was some good action scenes later on, but they're more grounded. This is like your full-on, this is MCU superhero,
what
CGI.
What a fun way to start the series.
No,
especially,
it's great.
I thought this was super clever coming off of WandaVision, which was like weird, like more cerebral and stuff like that. It's like, hey, people, guess what? We can still do crazy action.
Yeah, we're still superhero films kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to add to New World Order other than the big reveal at the end, which is, of course, we have a new Captain America?
I like the memes that was comparing him to the dude from Up. Just because of the ears, I think.
The square chin. It was
and
the square chin
and the ears. Yeah, it's funny. WTF moment.
Yeah, it really was. Sam gives up the shield to the museum because he feels like he can't carry it, which is significant.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give it to their new Captain America.
Which sets the stage for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Basically.
And a whole new character and a whole thing.
The whole theme about
taking
this mantle and all that stuff. Yeah.
John Walker gets, he's given the shield. He's the new Captain America. That is how episode one ends. And you're just like, okay, son. Carl's son. Carl Jr.
Carl Jr.
And then we go into the Star-Spangled Man. Okay. Did you have anything specific for episode 2, or let's just continue on?
Not specifically. I mean, it explores John Walker being that symbol, or at least trying to be.
Right. And you have him meeting up with Bucky. And this is also where we see Bucky and Sam, like, together. So in episode 1, we saw both of them, but we didn't see them together.
No.
So in episode 2, we do. And their chemistry is insane.
Yeah, so... I mean, they're both best friends with Steve Rogers in the MCU.
Yes.
And Anthony Mackie and Chris Evans had great chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And Sebastian Stan and Chris Evans had amazing chemistry. But I think that Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan have better chemistry together than either of them had with Chris Evans. And that's saying a lot.
Because they had amazing chemistry.
But even just watching like behind the scenes press stuff where they're making fun of Tom Holland. It's just hilarious.
What is that? I mean, it's fantastic. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question here. Bucky Barnes. now versus Winter Soldier Bucky Barnes, which do you prefer?
Kind of prefer Winter Soldier because he's kind of dark and mysterious. But I can see the appeal of the, like, reformed bad boy as well. I don't know.
Okay, so I know you know my opinion because literally I said it three times watching this.
Yes, yes, you did.
In this one, we see Bucky Barnes, like, he's trying to make amends for his past. And he says the significant thing that in Wakanda, he had a little bit of peace. But other than that, he spent 90 years just going from fight to fight to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And you see he has this list. And it's actually in Steve Rogers' notebook. Remember his notebook?
Yes. Where
he, oh, my God.
Yep.
And it's his list that he, of people he's trying to make amends with. I know people love Winter Soldier. Give me attempting to be reformed Bucky Barnes every single day of the week. I never understood the attraction to Bucky Barnes before until this series.
Okay. Yeah.
And, like, I'm not just, like, he's an attractive man. He's an attractive man. But, like, I like his character so much more because now he's actually conflicted. He's not just, like, brooding in a corner somewhere and, like, punchy, punchy, punch,
punch. But he
punch,
can
punch.
Brood with the best of them.
He can brood. I mean, like, he an angel, I mean, right? Like, Buffy days. But give me a, like, reformed, trying to do good, but conflicted, like, gray area guy any day of the week. And speaking of gray area, what episode do we meet Zemo in? Okay, so episode 3 is Power Broker. Do you want to say anything about episode 3? I know you want to say a lot about the Power Broker, but do you want to say anything about episode 3 specifically?
Well, I mean, we get to see Zemo again, mm-hmm. and he becomes the ultimate scene stealer of this series. I need to see more Zemo.
Give me all the Zemo all the time.
I liked Zemo in Civil War. I thought he was a good villain.
Right.
In this one, he's a good, like, just gray area, fun.
He's a good
dude.
Character, period.
Yeah.
Full stop. We have talked about MCU's serious issue with villains. Name your good villain.
I still say that's overblown, but their main problem with villains is they kill them off too quickly.
Especially the good ones.
Because they have these heroes that are continuing on through multiple films, and they kill off the villains before they can have any development. Thanos worked because he had development through multiple films, even if it was
mostly
just
in end credits.
Just cameos and what, or whispers, rumors,
right,
type of thing. But that's why Thanos works so well.
100%.
Loki is so beloved because he's in multiple films.
100%.
When you murder off these decent villains, you can't build to anything.
Right.
So I want to see a Zemo, Loki, and cross your fingers, Doctor Doom team up in the future.
You have very strong opinions on Fantastic Four, so I know you
yes.
mentioned this. I don't get, I haven't watched a good Fantastic Four, so
mm-mm.
I will say this. I adore Loki. And I adore Zemo. I thought Zemo was a fantastic character. I was so glad I didn't kill him off in the first one. Having him come back now, and then he danced. And then I was like, okay, well, now I love Zemo.
Dance. That's,
okay, you can't see Brandon as Zemo dancing now.
I'm Zemo dancing. He's a good dancer, just like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are the same.
Is this the same?
Okay, we also get to see Sharon Carter again, who I thought was a really cool character, and I want to talk about her in a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
We meet Sharon Carter, and they do some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the big reveal at the end of this episode,
which is,
we get to see the Wakandans again.
Oh my gosh, that was super cool. I was so happy they brought them in. I don't know why I didn't expect that, but I didn't.
But it makes sense because Zemo had this whole thing.
Of course.
Because he murdered the king of Wakanda. Winter Soldier, of course, found refuge
in Wakanda.
In Wakanda.
Became
White Wolf, and they gave him a new arm and all this stuff.
It was the whole thing.
It makes perfect sense.
I know. Okay, so we also have The Whole World is Watching. I think the title actually speaks to a lot more of the whole series than this particular episode.
It's funny to say it's only a 6-episode series, but this was more of a filler, get-to-the-point episode. It had a purpose, but yeah, this was probably the weakest episode.
Okay, hold on
episode.
1 minute. Is this the episode where the Wakandans fight?
It did have a really good fight scene.
Yes!
In the apartment. And
Zemo's apartment.
Zemo escapes in his Zemo-y way.
He was so Zemo about his Zemo escape.
That was amazing, but everything else in this episode.
But this fight scene was really cool.
Yeah. No, yeah.
And I mean, anytime I get to see Wakandan fight scene in whatever form, I am a happy individual.
The Dora Milaje are awesome.
Yeah, I really like that. Bucky's like, no, you'd rather fight me than them.
Yeah, they kick some butt. And
serious butt.
And yeah.
No, and I might cool. just, every time I get to see them fight, just like hats off to every single time. Best part of this episode, I would say. Oh. Other than Zemo's escape, but that's all part of the same scenes. Next, we have Truth. What did you think of this one? Any specifics that really stood out to you?
Going back to the last episode.
Oh, okay, sorry. Sorry, I jumped ahead, maybe?
After the big fight scene and all that, the big reveal is John Walker being a murderer.
Why did I think that was in episode 5? My fault.
I thought it was as well, but...
You have quite the end scene.
Yeah, so his buddy gets killed by one of the Flag Smashers.
Yes.
The main one.
But we're gonna talk about the villain later.
Yes, we're gonna talk about her later. He just is filled with red rage.
Yep.
And goes all crazy. He's taking the super serum.
Okay, so you have this great moment where Zemo is confronted by all the serum, and of course he has very strong ideals about the nature of super soldiers. And he says, yes, okay, Steve Rogers, it didn't turn him evil or anything like that, but he has this idea about power and...
He hates super soldiers, yeah.
Yes. And he says Steve Rogers wasn't evil or anything like that, but he was a one-off.
He literally hates superheroes in general because of his experience with Sokovia and all that,
and
which
makes
sense.
And he doesn't even hold anything against Cap himself.
No.
He's just like the idea behind it. He's very idealistic.
People shouldn't have more power than others, which is kind of funny because he's royalty and has more power because of his money, but... okay.
Excuse me while I hire my butler to do things. Yeah. Anyway. So, he is confronted with all these vials of super serum, and he crushes all of them except one.
Mm-hmm.
John Walker sees it, is tempted. We don't see him take it. He pockets it. He thinks about it.
Talks to his buddy about it.
Yeah, and he says that it doesn't change you. It just brings out what is already there. Oh, my goodness. That seems like a big moment.
It's like drinking. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Cheers.
Steve Rogers was like good guy on good guy on good guy. He had some gray areas, but he was good guy on good guy on good guy. His gray areas were never like morally dubious gray areas.
No. He did the right thing even when he was told he shouldn't do it, is his thing.
Yeah,
he was the Boy Scoutiest of Boy Scouts. Right. Even when the Boy Scout troop leader said, no, you shouldn't do that, he's like, no, I'm going to be a good Boy Scout.
John Walker.
He just does what he's told.
Yeah, seems like a theme here.
Mm-hmm.
So we find out, we don't see him do it, but he has taken the super serum because at the end of this, there's big fight, his friend is killed, and he goes... crazy.
He goes crazy and also murders someone.
Literally decapitates someone with Cap's shield.
Yeah.
And that's not great.
No, and he's also like recorded doing this by everyone. That's where the title of the episode comes from. The whole world is watching.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the end.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. And you're left with this image of him standing there holding the shield covered in blood.
Probably the best.
Yeah.
Directorial shot of this
worm's, low angle.
Worm's eye view of this bloody shield. Yeah, great.
Oh my goodness. Great. And then we end with this.
The last third of this episode is really great. I shouldn't have said this is a filler. There's no filler. It's only 6 episodes long. I'm dumb. Okay.
We go into Truth. So there are some like crazy moments in this. Can I tell you what stood out to me?
Yeah.
This is where we go back home down to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Where Sam is from. And let's just interrupt this right now. Anthony Mackie is from New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they were creating this series, they decided to place Sam Wilson as being from New Orleans to make it authentic to Anthony Mackie's experience.
So he could embody the character.
Exactly.
A black man from the South.
It has a very different story.
Which is something else. And this episode kind of dives into that.
It's mentioned it a few other times. Mm-hmm. There's another character that we haven't talked about yet, but we're going to talk about him in a bit. But this one like takes it all and wraps it up and meets it head on.
Yeah.
I cannot believe this was shot previous to some of the Black Lives Matter marches. Let's just say that.
I don't know about when it was shot, but it was definitely written.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes, that's true.
They had developed this whole series, and then they kind of ran into COVID at the beginning, like in the middle of shooting.
Right. While they were in Prague.
And of course, all the Black Lives Matter stuff spurted out after that. Mm-hmm. But of course, all this racial tension has been bubbling under the surface for
100%.
For years.
But
and
just
years.
The fact that this was
it wasn't a reaction to 2020. It was before that.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be timely as heck.
Exactly. There's a couple things that really stood out to me in this episode. I love, actually. It's not very superhero-y at all, but it's Bucky and Sam throwing Cap's shield and it hit the tree, and then they catch it, and they're going back and forth. There's been this question I see online over and over again up until this point about why didn't Bucky get the shield? Why didn't Bucky get the shield? Bucky should be the new Cap. Why didn't Bucky get
because,
the shield? Ever
because
since Endgame.
They've both been Cap in the comics.
Yes. So, and that, mm-hmm. so then people were supposing that during this series, it would go from Sam to Bucky. And then as the series progressed, they're like, what the heck is going on? And Bucky has this very significant line. He says, when Steve told me what he was planning to do, neither of us imagined, like, we didn't even take race into consideration.
Well, no, because they're two white guys. And speaking as a white guy, I don't understand.
100%.
Like, we can't even begin to grasp
exactly
what that means.
And that's what Buck even says. He's like, we didn't even think
You wouldn't.
We did not even think about this. And that tells us a few things. So first of all, that's coming from an ultimate place of privilege, mm-hmm. where he's just like, yeah, no, I have absolutely no idea. And I'm sorry. And let's talk about this. But also, Bucky knew Sam was getting it. They had discussed it in advance. Steve was like, hey, Bucky, old buddy, I'm going to give the shield to Sam. What do you think about this? Or do you want the shield? Like, we don't know what happened in that conversation, but there was a conversation.
Yeah.
So, hey, people who think Bucky deserves it more, calm down.
Yeah, well, Bucky's got his own thing going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, that moment was super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love their interaction. Not necessarily like, when they're fighting too, but not just then. I love their interaction just when they're Bucky and Sam. They're just like snarky with each other. And there was a lot of that.
It goes back to their great chemistry. And they have a lot of cool, just like down to earth stuff.
100%.
Back in Louisiana and all that.
Okay. Anything else to add about Truth?
No, I mean, it sets up the next episode. The Flag Smashers have their big plan. And they also introduce the new gray area Nick Fury.
Great name, by the way.
Yes.
Contessa.
Valentina Allegra Di Fontaine.
Right. Her. Elaine.
Elaine. She's Elaine. She's Elaine with purple hair.
She's Elaine with purple hair.
She could dance with Zemo.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Well, I don't know why we're dancing. No one can
see us. I don't know. No, that's cool. And we also get our first mid-credit scene of the series.
It's true.
Of course, John Walker's defeated at the beginning of the episode.
Yep.
And his shield is taken away.
Yep.
But he makes a new one.
Yep.
With his PTSD medals.
Yeah. It's
embedded.
That's fine. That's fine.
It's going to turn out fine.
Totally fine. Nothing weird there at all. Yep. Okay, so we go into episode 6, last episode, One World, One People. Hey, it's the one we stayed up super late to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worth it.
Totally worth it. Yeah. I think I'm still sleeping in because of it.
No. I'm good.
Okay, what did you think?
Oh, I mean, the first episode had the best action scenes, but this one had the second best action scenes. That first initial Falcon / Captain America coming through the window shot.
Oh my
is
God.
So good.
Oh my God. Yes.
So good.
Yes. Okay. So we're left in episode 5. Bucky, when he's talking to the Wakandan, says, I want to ask you for one favor. And he delivers this suitcase. We don't get to see what's in the suitcase. Of course,
box?
We can all guess what's in the box.
Oh.
It's not a head.
It's wings.
It's wings.
Yeah. Vibranium wings.
So there's all this question about how can someone who's not a super soldier be Cap? Vibranium wings.
Vibranium wings are great.
That would probably do it.
Yeah, no, that's good. He's basically Iron Man / Captain America / Falcon.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he gets a lot of power from his suit. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, okay.
Also the fact that, oh my goodness, did the dude work out like crazy. Oh. And by the way, Anthony Mackie not wearing a muscle suit.
Yeah, he's very proud of that fact.
Yes, he is.
And as well he should be, because
no
damn.
Kidding. Oh my God. Watch Assembled and just the interviews with him as he's all like jacked and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that moment, that's a superhero moment right there.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, that's your... It wasn't a true superhero landing, although Bucky gets one.
Bucky does get one.
In this episode, but it's like, it's your superhero moment. He's got his shield, and it's like, the score rises, and yeah. And
he breaks through the glass.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So, the other thing is, we get Sharon Carter revealed as the power broker.
Which, I mean, you saw coming.
We saw it coming. We were like, yeah, I mean, that's pretty obvious. I don't know if her character in this series is really true to her character that we've seen before. I know that this is a kind of a plot thread from the comics.
Yeah.
That they're pulling on. I don't know if they earned it.
Yep. So, I told you I had strong opinions about this.
Yeah.
I love the idea of Sharon Carter being a power broker.
Mm-hmm.
I hate.
The execution was awful.
Yes. You're going to give me a really cool female powerful villain and then not give me the story?
Mm.
Like, what a complete cop-out. You had this super cool character who had the ties to Peggy Carter. Awesome underrated character, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Who had...
And she risked everything in the Captain America movies to... do the right thing.
100%. And she just gets one comment about, oh, well, you know, I got ignored. First of all, we don't know if she got dusted or not. We're assuming she didn't. And so she had like a really crappy 5 years.
Yeah.
I get that. Give me something about it. Now, yeah. I'm hoping.
They need to expand on it and then it'll save it. But
yes, because right now they took a cool character, made her evil and gave her no depth whatsoever when she had more depth as a 5 minutes on there. And I'm not saying you have to be a good guy to have depth,
no.
But they gave her
Zemo has depth and he's not a good guy.
Thank you. They made her have a complete 180, which is like, cool, I get that. Give her a few lines to warrant it.
Yeah.
Like, nothing.
Weak. It's weak.
So, nothing.
So far as to say that people think that she may be a Skrull.
Well, that would actually be cooler.
A shapeshifter, and she's going to tie into a Secret Invasion, which is a whole Skrull storyline from the comics. Anyway, not the best, but speaking of depth...
I'm scowling.
No, we're going to move on. We're going to move on because we're running long.
Okay, I'm scowling still.
Sharon Carter, worst part of this series, for sure.
And she could have been so cool.
She could have been so cool, yeah.
Anyway. Sharon Carter's power broker is really cool. Don't screw it up, and you screwed it up.
Yeah, no. Definitely the weakest part. But speaking of depth,
okay.
Isaiah Bradley.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. No more scowling.
Yeah.
No more scowling.
Okay.
Okay. Had as probably less screen time than Sharon Carter.
He had very, very tiny screen
time. And oh my God.
But he was a side character that helped punch up Sam's
whole arc.
His whole arc. And like brought all this stuff and like the history of America and Black people in America, and it's just...
Talk about the conflict. He says something when he's like, they would never let a Black man carry the shield, and no self-respecting one would want to.
Yeah.
And Sam actually takes that as the challenge.
He does, which speaks to Sam's character, but it's an interesting concept, because you have this whole, like, your authority and all that stepping down on you, and but you're gonna... fight that from the inside. It's very interesting.
So there's a quotation here about Anthony Mackie. He said that basically Wilson's whole arc is questioning how a Black man can represent a country that does not represent him. And so much of that comes from Isaiah Bradley as representative of this fact that your country doesn't represent you.
And it goes back to the whole kneeling during the anthem, all that stuff.
So you...
Which is really deep for a goofy superhero show.
I would just like to point out that we have a Black Captain America days, hours separated from a pretty significant trial. George Floyd verdict was released like, I don't know, like 48 hours difference from... And I mean, like, it's a superhero movie. Like, does it matter in the grand scheme of things? I don't know. But you know what? To some 7-year-old kid?
Exactly.
right? There's this scene, and if you watch Assembled, it's actually...
Representation matters.
Exactly. And there's a scene, and it's actually what Assembled ends with. Sam has a couple nephews in this, and he's holding the shield in one of them, and one of the nephews is, like, tracing it. Mm-hmm. And, like, I am not American, and I'm certainly not a black man, but, like, I was crying watching this. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple points when I cried during this series, and quite frankly, they involved Isaiah Bradley.
Yeah, no, he was a powerful character, and he was realistic in representing historical things.
Right. He's basically like the flip side.
Without hitting you over the head with it. Right. Either. Like, I don't know.
He's basically the flip side of Steve Rogers. Mm-hmm. He said this was Steve Rogers' experience.
As a white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy. Right. Literally.
This was mine at the same time. These are the two things that happened mm-hmm. to us. At the same time, Wyatt Russell as John Walker is basically like, he thinks he does all the right things. He's like, he fought for his country. And he's tormented about...
He's a privileged guy that tries to do the right thing all the time. Yeah. And it still doesn't work out for him. And he has to grapple with that.
He's basically done everything his country has ever asked, and now his life and his sense of duty to the United States, basically, it upsets his privilege. Mm. And he's like, why isn't this working? This has always worked. Why is this not working for him?
I want this all to work out for me, and it's not working out. And that's when his character flaws come into being.
You know what I really enjoyed? I enjoyed that they just didn't make him the bad guy.
No.
He was a bad guy.
He has a redemption arc, and it works. Like, I wasn't mad about it.
No, I liked him way better in the last episode than I did the whole rest of the time. They don't completely redeem him either. They leave him in the gray area.
Yeah, he's going to be an anti-hero. It's going to...
All of a sudden, I like this. Well, no. I mean, I don't like him. I like the character.
Yeah, it's great.
You have all of these different characters who represent these different things.
Yeah, no, it has a lot of layers, and for 6 episodes, they crammed a lot in there.
They did.
And I'm excited to see Captain America 4, and I'm excited to see all the ways that this intertwines with this new Marvel universe that includes Disney Plus shows, because they have a lot coming. And
did you know that the first episode of this was more watched than the premieres of both WandaVision and the second season of Mandalorian?
I did know that, because...
I did not.
Yeah, no. I mean, this is easier watching than something like WandaVision. Yeah. Especially the first episode, like, this black and white show? What the heck's going on? I don't know. But no, it makes sense. Mandalorian's a little surprising, because Mandalorian was so big.
Yeah.
First season I could see, but season 2 was building on, like...
This one was even bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
First episode.
I mean, MCU is...
I know.
Is king of the world.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So the only criticism I ever found for any of this stuff, as far as critical criticism was about the pacing.
The pacing was a little weird. Sharon Carter's writing was...
Yeah. So basically they said the whole thing was flawed but fun was the one I saw that kind of stood out the most. Basically, it felt like a 6-hour movie. You already said that.
Yep.
And you mentioned this, I think it was after episode 4, maybe? I don't remember. But you did mention this in one of our, like, Marvel Minute quick gut reaction things. Was that people believe that releasing episodically... For WandaVision, it was like a benefit.
Oh, yeah.
But here it kind of maybe hurt the flow. And
I
don't know if it hurt it. I really enjoyed it. Some people may have commented on this.
I was fine with the episodic format, but the plot holes introduced by trying to have this big twist with Sharon Carter as the power broker made no sense. So if you go back and watch episode 3, she leads them to her super secret scientist. And if she's the power broker, that is a dumb move.
Maybe she just really wants the serum back and thinks this is how it's going
to
work.
Yeah, she wants them to go find the people who stole her serum, but this guy's can make her more serum. And the homicidal maniac bad guy to the only guy that can make you more serum, that is a really terrible plan. Bond villain level stupid.
Let me slowly swivel in my chair and explain to you my plan in slow detail.
And then get attacked by power broker henchmen, and she has to beat them up? No. Yeah,
fair.
It makes no sense in hindsight. Like, a twist should make sense when you go back and watch it. Like, say, like, The Sixth Sense, you go back and watch that and go, oh, Bruce Willis was dead the whole time. That makes perfect sense.
MCU, generally, I don't have a problem with the writing, generally.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. What the heck, Sharon Carter?
No.
Literally my only problem with this show. I was super happy with everything else. Flag Smashers, they took a middle-aged man character, made him a teenage girl.
Well, yeah, so they turned a villain from the comics into an organization headed by this teenage girl.
She's fantastic.
She's a great actress. The only small problem with it is it's exactly the same character she played in Star Wars.
She didn't have the
Enfys
mask
nest. Yes, she had a mask.
Not this mask. I said. Oh. It was a totally different
mask.
Same,
it's the same character. She's a rebel leader and wants to fight for the oppressed and will willing to kill for it. And it's the same character.
You're so angry.
It's disappointing. Anyway, she's a great actress,
She plays this character super well.
Yeah, and they killed her off just like all the other villains.
Of course they did.
Yeah,
of course they did. Yeah.
Womp.
Well, Sharon Carter killed her off, which would have been cool had her character
had the writing been good, that might have hit a little better. Okay, speaking of hit a little better, at the end of the series, they change the title credits.
Oh, yeah!
It's Falcon and the Winter Soldier all the way through, and they go Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Yes!
Which was awesome.
Yes!
They considered changing it to Captain America and the White Wolf.
Did they?
Or Bucky Barnes or something. But they wanted that Captain America to hit really hard. Mm-hmm. And they felt that was like too much change. Like, so it didn't.
That's kind of cool.
Because Bucky isn't the Winter Soldier anymore.
No, he's not.
At the end of this. He's exercised those demons.
Mm-hmm.
That's his past sort of thing. So I thought that was an interesting artistic choice.
Right.
I agree with it. Like that.
Yeah.
To Captain America. Bam.
I freaked out at that. Just as much as I did Captain America's entrance through the glass.
No, I was
seeing that title change Captain America. I was just like, oh my God, that's so cool.
And then literally the next day, all the press confirmed that they're making a new Captain America movie. So yeah,
it was actually the same day. We just stayed up late, so we thought it was the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, within 24 hours, Captain America 4 was announced. Isn't that fantastic?
Oh, it's awesome. Excited.
I am super excited. So basically this is a story about one man overcoming his past and one man overcoming his potential future.
Yeah.
One, right? Bucky's looking
towards
the past.
They're both fighting history.
Right.
At the end of the day.
It's 100% true. Overall, if you were to give this, like, I don't know, a score out of 10.
I'd give it an 8.
Oh, nice. What would you give WandaVision, just because we were comparing this before?
And that'd be a 9.
Okay. I like it. I like your rating.
There's room for improvement, but...
Fair.
I liked them both a lot, and I'm just happy that we get all this content now.
Okay. So, we get to breathe a little bit for Loki.
For a month. Oh, I'm excited for Loki.
I know, right? Anything else to add for this?
It was really good, and it's important for representation.
I just want to say, I thought this was going to be like Lethal Weapon-esque buddy cop, and it was a little bit of
that. It was. It had that.
It checked
off those boxes.
It totally did.
But it was more.
So, hats off. I can't believe Falcon and Winter Soldier made me cry.
Everything makes you cry.
Fair, but I did not expect this to. Good job. Let's go to trivia. Okay, so we were talking about Disneyland. First of all, I asked you, when a cast member is playing a character, they can't say, I am Cinderella, I am Snow White,
Steve Rogers.
I am Steve Rogers, right? Mm. They have different phrasing. I asked you what the phrasing was. This is what you said.
But they say something like, I'm friends with them. Or
I can't believe you got it right.
Hmm. Sometimes when you pull stuff out of your butt, it works out. I was friends with the Grizz, though.
You were friends with the Grizz. Shout out Grizz.
Yeah.
Question number 2. Which ride is at every single Disney park? This is what you said.
Peter Pan.
You know, you were right going with the whole classics and Fantasyland.
Yeah.
The answer I found was Dumbo.
Kind of a lame ride.
Quintessential.
Easy to transport.
That is 100% true.
I will not wait in line for Dumbo. I would go on it if it was walk-on.
Yeah. You know, during rope drop, if you head to Fantasyland, one of your rope drop or magic morning kind of mornings, when you can do all the Fantasyland rides, that's the time to do it. I think it's good.
Nah.
Yeah, it's good. Anyway, Question number three. Walt came up with Disneyland idea while watching his kids do something. What was that?
Carousel or something?
I can't believe you got this right.
I can't either, honestly.
Oh my goodness.
Nah.
How did you get this?
I don't know. I was actually kind of picturing like the Punisher origin story in my head where his kids are on the carousel.
Fair. Concerned that you're seeing Walt as the Punisher.
Yes. He punishes people with a good time.
How dare you not have a good time?
Magic for everyone!
2 out of 3, completely guessing. You must have known it somewhere locked in your brain.
Just in the back of my head, I guess. I don't know.
We have talked before, not on this show, but we have talked before about how Walt basically combined his love of trains and watching his kids on the carousel that time.
He does love his trains.
Good job. That was well done.
Yeah,
I'm impressed.
I don't know.
Good job. Okay, what have you got for me?
Well, okay, so Falcon and the Winter Soldier was this episode, so we're going to ask you some Falcon and the Winter Soldier type trivia.
Fair.
This one's probably going to be tough. It's not really trivia.
Why would you do this?
It's more of a memory exercise.
Oh, God.
I want you to recite the Winter Soldier activation words from the top of your
head.
What? Yeah. I just want to see if you can come up with anything.
Can you tell me how many there are?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 10 phrases. Can you remember any of them?
When we were watching it?
They were in all the
No, I know. I 100% know.
Of Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I 100% know. No, I don't 100% know the answer. I know it was in all of them. And when they were doing it, I could say it with them.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head.
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny.
Let me think.
I literally only remember the last one myself, but
No.
No?
Literally no.
Nothing? One of them is a title of a different Marvel film.
No, I don't know.
Anyway,
I think War is one of them, but I don't know.
Kind of fun. Anyway, I'm going to ask you some real trivia now. So, Bucky Barnes' full name originated from this real-life person, historical figure.
I don't know. You did so well on your trivia.
I didn't expect you to know this one. It's kind of a mean question, but it's an interesting piece of trivia. It's okay. Falcon represents the character Falcon represents a major milestone for Marvel Comics. What do you think that might be?
Is he the first black superhero? I'm asking you the question.
You're asking me the question. I'm asking you the question.
Okay, well,
and you have to answer me the question.
That's the answer. I don't know if he or Rhodey came first. I mean, in the MCU, Rhodey did, but...
Yes.
Also, he was in this series, by the way.
He was in the first episode.
Yeah, he was.
Nice little cameo.
Yeah, hats off, Rhodey.
Makes it interesting because they're both black and in the military.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's anyone could understand, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that's cool. That's an interesting guess. Is that your final answer?
Sure. I feel so defeated on these. Wait, is defeated one of the words?
No. Oh. But that's closer than your other guesses. I'll give you the one that's a title of another Marvel movie.
Okay.
Homecoming.
Oh.
I would like to hear people reciting those words. That's kind of fun.
I'm sad.
Don't be sad.
I know, but I said it while he was saying it. So, like, somewhere in my brain, it's locked in
there. It's in there somewhere.
Maybe like Bucky, and you just need to say it in the order.
If I say it in the right order, and you become a murderous wench.
Wench?
Yeah, I don't know.
Dawn?
Okay, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Okay, well, that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh, man, and make fun of me. Sunset? I don't know. I'm just going to say random words and hope it's it.
No, you just give
okay, up. Okay, fine. That's our show then, since I'm giving up.
Yeah.
Thank you to El Mule, who's responsible for our custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. You can also find us on social media. Facebook at Disney A, Twitter at Disney A Podcast, and Instagram at DisneyA.podcast. We'd love to hear from you. You can find Disney A episodes on your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, all the podcasts.
Many podcasts.
Mm. Please review our podcast and subscribe. If you know someone who might like this podcast, please be sure to recommend Disney A to them. If you leave us a review, we will read it.
Smash that like button. Oh, no, wait.
No, that's
we're not on YouTube. Okay, shoot.
Yet.
Oh. Dun, dun, dun.
That was very ominous, actually.
It should be.
You can also listen to Disney EA episodes on Magic of the Mouse Radio, like we said. Mondays at 4 p.m.-ish Eastern, with replays on Wednesday and Friday, also at 4.
It might be slightly earlier when we go really long like this.
Like this.
I apologize.
Sorry. You can all listen to Magic of the Mouse Radio on Live 365, MyTuner Radio, Radio Garden, and other radio station apps. Also, since we are now excited, the parks are open!
Yes!
Yes! Yay!
We can go on It's a Small World 17 times in a row! Well, we can't. We can't. We can't.
Because the World of Tears.
The border is closed.
World of Tears. That yeah. part. We like, missed the World of Laughter part.
Yeah, the World of Tears. The world is full of tears right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our border is still closed. Alberta's not a great place to be right now, COVID-wise, guys.
And there's, yeah.
You can listen to sounds of the parks, including Disneyland,
yes.
on Magic the Mouse Radio. Join us next week as we chat about our favorite YouTubers. We've talked about doing this episode a few times.
Yes,
we finally get to.
I'm excited to do this.
So excited. Yeah. So this is actually perfect timing because, like I said, glued to YouTube.
Yeah. Well, we got to live vicariously through
right?
someone, and those YouTubers, they have provided.
Oh, my goodness.
Many of them early access through the soft openings. Many of them were there today as well.
Actually, they were. I think our top favorites were there today.
Yeah.
So what
they
we
fought
want-
through those online
they
queues.
Did.
And,
they
did.
Those big lineups.
Yeah.
So please, if you have a favorite Disney-related YouTuber, we, of course, focus on Disneyland. But if you have one even for, you know, Disney World or whatever, please recommend them to us. We love seeing new YouTube accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we like are kind of on a YouTube kick right
we're,
now.
We're kind of content creators now, and we appreciate
working on it.
We appreciate good content creators.
Absolutely, absolutely. So if you have someone to recommend, please message us on our Instagram, on our Facebook, on our Twitter, on our website, whatever. Let us know. So join us next week,
and you can smash that like button. Yeah.
So I'm Krista,
and I'm Brandon.
Until that next adventure, TTFN. Ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney AM.
It was a sad trombone of an ending.